At one time, the annual revenue for Twitter was $4.5 billion. Today, well, it's different. One of the major automakers is building a $3.5 billion battery factory. Who is it and where? We'll share. More vehicle news that's really smart coming out of Detroit. We'll have that story for you. Let's talk about women's underwear, shall we? More recession talk, but it's not what you might think. Meanwhile, more layoff news from big tech. More from the grocery wars are coming at you today. We've got the Wall Street Report and some enlightening thoughts about those Super Bowl ads this year. Let's go.
Insight on Business News and Comment with Michael Libby is made possible through the support of Tarot International, the premier interpersonal skills, research, and corporate training company. Achieve, lead, and outclass with Tarot. TERO.com. Focus and Find, a high-level, socially responsible search firm helping major corporations in their search for diverse talent. FocusandFind.com. Funding also comes from the National Tractor Parts Dealer Association, an international organization supporting the new and used agricultural and construction parts industry. Learn more at ntpda.com.
Thank you, Hunter Pease, and welcome to this, the Monday edition of the Business News Headlines. Grateful that you're with us again today. Want to follow us on Twitter? You can do that. We are at @IOB_NewsHour. Well, the shocking numbers coming out of Twitter regarding advertising revenue is, in a word, yeah, shocking. CNN is reporting that the one-time revenue stream of $4.5 billion is now a fraction of that. In fact, of the 1,000 largest advertisers on the platform, 625 of them have backed away. No longer advertising on Twitter are companies like Coca-Cola, Unilever, Jeep, Wells Fargo, and Merck. As a result of this mass exodus, revenue has been cut by 60%. Prior to Elon Musk taking over the social media platform, monthly revenue was roughly $127 million. That's per month. Now, according to data by Pathmatics, the monthly revenue is running about $48 million. According to responses, advertisers began to drop off of Twitter because they were worried about the safety and stability of the platform. Although Twitter's ad business was always much smaller than that of Facebook and Google, it was still responsible for the vast majority of the company's revenue. Musk must now fill in that gap as he stares down interest payments for the debt he took to buy Twitter for $44 billion. And all of this now explains the massive layoffs and even not paying rent on their California headquarters. Last week, we had a story about the domestic production of semiconductor chips for General Motors that's being done in upstate New York. Well, now comes a story that Ford will be building a $3.5 billion battery factory in Michigan. This is yet another example of a major company looking to use a Biden administration law meant to increase domestic production of, well, just about everything. CNN is reporting that Ford is doing this to take advantage of more federal tax credits for electric vehicles. The plant will operate as a wholly owned subsidiary of Ford Motor Company, but will build batteries using the knowledge and services of the Chinese company Contemporary Amperpex Technology Company, or CATL. CATL, the world's largest battery manufacturer, also supplies batteries to Tesla. According to Ford, the plant will be located on a 950-acre site in southern Michigan near the town of Marshall. It will employ 2,500 people when it opens for production in 2026. More vehicle news. It would seem that the folks who will be building the Ram electric truck is taking a cue from competitor Ford. How's that? Well, if you remember, one of the major selling points of the Ford F-150 Lightning is that it looks just like the gas-powered F-150 rather than some futuristic vehicle. Pre-orders skyrocketed, and buyers are saying the familiar look is one of the things they really like. Well, now CNN is reporting that Stellantis, that's Ram's parent company, which had previously revealed a sleek-looking concept truck that was meant to provide a preview of the brand's first electric pickup, well, Stellantis has changed their mind. The Ram 1500 REV, due out in late 2024, looks almost exactly like a gas-powered Ram 1500 pickup, except its headlights and taillights. Stellantis did not provide any specifications for the new electric truck, like power, driving range, or other capabilities. You know, it's not too often we do a feature story about women's underwear. But hey, for those of you buying your Valentine a little something, you might be interested in why her underwear cost more than men's underwear. That all has to do with tariffs. CNN is reporting that the average U.S. tariff rate on women's undergarments is 15.5%, compared to just 11.5% for men's underwear. Now, that means women are being charged a tax that's 35% higher than what their male counterparts pay. All that, according to Ed Greiser, a former U.S. trade official and current director for trade and global markets at the Progressive Policy Institute. He wrote, "Worst Valentine's Day surprise ever," as he estimated that the current U.S. tariff system adds about $1.10 to each pair of women's underwear and about 75 cents to men's. So, what about other nations? What are they doing? Well, most international tariff systems have flat rates applying to all underwear, regardless of gender. Like in Australia, that rate's 5%. It's 10% in New Zealand, 18% in Canada, 20% in Colombia and Jamaica, 25% in India, 30% in Thailand, and get this, 45% in South Africa. Aren't you glad you learned all this stuff, right? In Japan and the European Union, women are actually taxed at a lower rate. There's no additional tax in Japan, while the EU levies a tariff of 6.5% on bras and corsets in Europe, compared with flat rates of 9 and 12% for the rest. Amazing stuff, right? So when people discuss the pink tax, they're usually talking about markups on products like razors and shampoos targeted to women as not being an actual tax. This, however, is a more literal example of systematic gender disparity. Wall Street rocketed up this afternoon, and I'll have those numbers for you in just a bit. As you know, there's been a steady drumbeat from economists, billionaire investors, and corporate CEOs that the U.S. will bear the brunt of a major recession. In other words, our economy is about to collapse. Now, hold on. The head of the International Monetary Fund said forecasters have been far too pessimistic. Fortune is reporting that Kristalina Georgieva, managing director of the IMF, said at the World Government Summit in Dubai that, quote, "the markets have good reason to be more upbeat because what they are finally seeing is that the U.S. economy is likely to avoid a recession," end quote. She believes that the combination of a resilient U.S. and European labor market, China's economic reopening after a string of COVID-related lockdowns, and fading inflation are helping to boost both the U.S. and global economies. Chinese consumers are rushing to spend the money that they saved during the extended lockdowns imposed under Beijing's strict COVID-zero policy, according to the IMF chief. And central banks' combined interest rate hikes have also had a surprisingly good result in taming runaway consumer price increases. So, on the recession, there is that. Well, we've all watched as businesses large and small have been chopping employees. Android Police is now reporting that big tech companies like Meta, Google, Microsoft, and Amazon have laid off thousands of people over the past few months. And this trend does not look like it's slowing down anytime soon. According to the Financial Times, Meta is in the midst of preparing for a new round of job cuts. It's supposed to be part of Mark Zuckerberg's plan to increase efficiency and contain costs at the social media giant. The company has internally delayed finalizing the budgets of multiple internal teams, presumably pending this new round of layoffs. The lack of clarity about headcounts and budgets and about this whole situation has caused uncertainty and confusion among employees, and that is never good for any business, large or small. The U.S. grocery business continues to heat up, and why not? It is a $2.2 trillion annual business. Now, Reuters is reporting that Chief Executive Andy Jassy from Amazon has vowed to double down on the e-commerce giant's struggling grocery store business. Jassy named and blamed a lack of normalcy during the pandemic for a series of stumbles and said that the company was ready to go big on bricks-and-mortar stores. Amazon did not immediately respond to a Reuters request for comment. The company has paused expansion of its fresh supermarkets and cashierless convenience stores until it finds the right recipe for success, Jassy said. That was in a rare appearance on the company's quarterly results call earlier this month. Jassy's remarks show how Amazon, which just a year ago said it would close its bookstores to focus on grocery, has yet to dominate brick-and-mortar retail since its closely watched acquisition of Whole Foods in 2017. Well, the major indexes surged today, all of them ending the trade in the green. The Dow closed up by 376 points to finish the day at 34,245, while the Nasdaq climbed up by 173 points to close at 11,891, and the S&P 500 picked up 46 points to end the trade at 4,137. So, what happened? Well, stocks rallied a day ahead of the upcoming Consumer Price Index reading, one of the most market-moving pieces of data of the past year, and we will get that report tomorrow. Still, the words coming out of the central bank are hawkish on rate hikes, but there is a but. The CPI that's out tomorrow, and traders think a more robust print, would look less like a one-off and more like part of a trend, which then could have a more pronounced impact on the market's view of the future. Even with earnings so far this season being a bit dismal, investors are banking on a good CPI tomorrow. If not, if it doesn't happen, well, strap in. And finally, there is this, and this has to do with the Super Bowl ads that were shown just yesterday. Excitement was perhaps more muted this year about Super Bowl ads compared to years past, but there were some standouts. Ad Age gave the Ben Affleck, Jennifer Lopez, Duncan spot and the General Motors Netflix ad high marks. As for which ads were most effective, Ad Weekly gave the teaser for Warner Brothers Pictures The Flash, and he gets us Love Your Enemies top honors based on EDO's immediate impact data. But there was another top dog based on USA Today's ad meter, pet food brand The Farmer's Dog, whose heart-tugging debut ad got the highest marks. Tubi had social media buzzing and some fuming with an ad that fooled viewers, making them scramble for their remote or thinking they were sitting on it. Melissa McCarthy's Booking.com ad was the most watched Super Bowl ad on YouTube. 30-second spots during the broadcast, which aired on Fox, get this, reportedly cost between $6 and $7 million each, and that does not include production. Hotel revenue in Phoenix also spiked over the Super Bowl weekend. Revenue per room reached $419, or the second highest rate for a Super Bowl weekend ever. And that is a wrap on this edition of the Business News Headlines. Thanks for joining us. For all of us that put this together each and every day, Chap Ramsey is our production coordinator. Sales and marketing, Aaron Libby. The voice of the Business News Hour is Hunter Pease. And the music you're listening to right now is arranged, composed, and done by our good friend, James Goodlett of Jam Good Productions. For all those folks, my name's Michael Libby. Have yourself a great day. Be safe. Be well. Be careful. Most of all, be good to your fellow man. Good day.